Deuteronomy chapter 16. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover to Yahweh your God, for in the month of Abib, Yahweh your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. You must sacrifice the Passover to Yahweh your God from the flock and the herd, in the place which Yahweh shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. So they were to remember how they would have died in Egypt, but they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. And our equivalent, of course, is the breaking of bread feast, where we celebrate our salvation through the blood of the Lamb. We are, as Paul says, the church of the firstborn. It's as if we were the firstborn who should have died, but we were saved by his blood. They were to take the Passover lamb from the flock or from the herd, and I think that's a little indication that the Lord Jesus was truly one of us. It wasn't that the lamb should be sort of brought up specially and kept separate from every other animal and then killed. It was an animal taken out from the flock or from the herd of goats. And so it is with us and the Lord Jesus, that he was one of us, absolutely of our nature. You must eat no leavened bread with it. You must eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day when you came out of Egypt, all the days of your life. No yeast shall be seen with you in all your borders 7 days. So I think this is interpreted by Paul when he says, let us keep the feast, not with the yeast of malice and bitterness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So in the same way as they were to search for the leaven, to the yeast, and make sure there was no yeast at all in the house, so it is with us. We are to examine ourselves. Now, the characteristic of yeast is that it spreads and influences. And that's a trouble with sin, especially, as Paul says, malice and bitterness, that these things spread, and you need to get rid of them. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, but at the place which Yahweh shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There you must sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the time that you came forth out of Egypt. Roast and eat it in the place which Yahweh shall choose. 6 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the 7th day shall be a solemn assembly to Yahweh. You shall do no work. You must count for yourselves 7 weeks, that's from the Passover, from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain, number 7 weeks. You must keep the feast of weeks to Yahweh with a tribute of a free will offering, which you shall give according as Yahweh blesses you. You shall rejoice before Yahweh, you, your son, your daughter, and the Levite who is within your gates, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, in the place which Yahweh shall choose, and you must remember that you were a bondservant in Egypt. So then, again, there is a connection between rejoicing and making a free will offering. They were told you must keep a free will offering. You must make a free will offering. But you may think, well, that means it wasn't a free will offering. I don't think we should read it like that. I think the idea is that if you're living a healthy spiritual life, you will want to make a free will offering. This must be part of your living relationship with God and with Jesus. The equivalent of that, we could discuss what that really means, but I think in reality it means that in the course of daily life you think, wow, I want to do something for you, God, for you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for me in saving me. I want to give you something. I want to do something for you. It may not be giving money. It could be doing something. It may be giving money, or it could be, as I say, just doing something for God. That is really how it must be amongst us if we're really appreciative of the way that we have been saved. You must keep the Feast of Tents or Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your feast. Your servants, the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow will rejoice with you. You must keep a feast to Yahweh your God 7 days in the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh your God will bless you in all your increase. You shall be altogether joyful. There were lots of feasts, really, and lots of days where they were told, you shall do no servile work. So actually, they had a lot of time off. And don't forget, every seventh year, the land was to be left fallow and they were not to do any agricultural work. They were to trust in big harvests the year before and to just eat what they'd grown. Every 49th year again was a year off. Israel had a lot of time off from the daily grind. That was the intention. And I think this was because God wanted to teach them a non-materialistic spirit. Every Sabbath, of course, they weren't to work either, even in harvest time. So God was going to bless them anyway, and he didn't want them to have this sort of work-centered attitude of work, 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 to grab for myself all I can. He doesn't like that. And this is, I think, the principle that we can take away from this in our lives. And in that, there is joy and you will be blessed. That is the continual message. And so we will be blessed. In the bigger picture, finally, God will bless us. If we don't have this sort of helter-skelter attitude of I, by all means, must grab as much as I can for myself and work, work, work to get it all. 3 times in a year must all your males appear before Yahweh in the place which he shall choose in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's Passover, and the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tents, or Tabernacles. They must not appear empty before Yahweh. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh which he has given you. Now, if they were to appear 3 times in a year before God, it was kind of logical, really, to want to live within reasonable distance of the sanctuary where they had to appear before God. That's why when the 2.5 tribes saw good pasture land, good for cattle, east of Jordan, and they say, oh, we want to live here, well, this wasn't a great decision, really, because the Jordan, as we know from the scriptures, was hard to cross. There were certainly no bridges over it. So really, they were putting themselves away from the possibility of obeying this very easily. They were making their obedience harder. And how does that translate? Well, I think we might be tempted to go to this uni or to go and get that job because it's very well paying or it helps my career forward, which is far away from any church or anywhere where we're going to be able to have fellowship. And I think maybe it applies to that. If you put God first, quite simply, then somehow you will be blessed in all your decisions. You shall make judges and officers in all your gates, which Yahweh your God gives you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You must not twist justice, nor respect persons, nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Follow that which is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which Yahweh your God gives you. Again, why are people unjust? Normally it's because they stand to get something out of it, like taking a bribe, for example. But God says, don't do that, and you will live and inherit the land. This is the whole repeated message. Do what is right. Put me first, and somehow everything else will work out all right. You must not plant for yourselves an Asherah or any kind of tree beside the altar of Yahweh, which you shall make for yourselves. So I think that what that shows is that somehow they were to avoid even the suggestion of idolatry, because the idol worshippers would plant groves of trees or just one tree and worship beneath its shade. God says, don't even plant any kind of tree next to my altar. In other words, he's saying, don't even make the subliminal suggestion in your mind of the possibility of serving me and idols. Don't even plant any tree near my altar. What that translates out as, I think, in our lives is don't even give yourself the outside temptation, even the suggestion, the association of that which is evil and that which is going to lead you away from God. For example, what sort of t-shirts do you wear? You're going to wear a t-shirt with a picture on it of a man or woman, a pop star, who is a drug user, a drug abuser, who regularly blasphemes God, or a slogan that is really not very Christian and not spiritual at all. Don't have these associations in your mind. Don't give your mind the opportunity. This particularly affects what you watch and what you listen to, the kind of music you listen to. Do you want to put into your head lyrics and catchy slogans and words which are really to do effectively with idolatry rather than the worship of God? Don't even go there. Don't even have those associations. I think that's the spirit of don't even plant any tree beside the altar of Yahweh.